Well, if you have your Bibles, go to Ephesians chapter 5. We're going to be back in verses 22 through 33 this morning. As we talked about last week, we walked through what was the meaning of marriage. What is marriage all about? Why is marriage a thing? Where did marriage come from? And ultimately, what we did was we looked at how marriage is meant to be a reflection of the gospel. That the relationship between a husband and wife should be so much so that when someone looks at that relationship, that they see a reflection of the kind of relationship that we as the church have with Jesus, full of grace, love, mercy, and sacrifice. And so this week, as we dive back into the text, we kind of went backwards. So we looked at the last few verses in Ephesians chapter 5, and now we're going to go back to verse 22 and actually look at what I'm going to call the function within the marriage. So we're going to be looking more at what is the role of a husband and wife in marriage and how should they act in order to best reflect this image of marriage. Now, I said at the very beginning of service today that there might be some hurt feelings in here from this part of the text because it is never a time I've not shared this where somebody doesn't feel a tinge of pain when they look at this and how they are working to honor the Lord in their marriage. Because the reality is we all fail at these things, especially husbands. Husbands, I'm going to pick on you a little bit more this morning because the verse talks more about you than it does wives this morning. But just know this, my goal and intention is not to hurt feelings, right? My goal and intention is for us to read Scripture to see what it says, and to ask ourselves how we can better live this out. And just like last week, I also don't want to idolize marriage. And so if you are single here this morning, my goal for you is not for you to wallow in self-pity because you are not in that season right now. But rather, my encouragement for you is that you would look at these roles, and just as you would the purpose of marriage, that you would seek to encourage those who hold the title of husband and wife, and that they would better live their roles out within their marriage. I'll share a quick story and then we'll walk through this text, but I remember when Victoria and I were getting ready to get married, and I was going through premarital counseling with who I now consider a longtime friend, Cole Pinnock. He was walking us through this book called This Momentary Marriage by John Piper. It's a great book if you've never read it. I don't 100% agree with everything in it, but it led to some really, really great discussion. If you're looking for a good marriage book, I do think it's a good one. And in it, one of the things that we talked about was wedding planning, right? How do you choose the people who are going to stand beside you at the ceremony, your bridesmaids and your groomsmen? And I'll never forget what Cole told me, and it really helped with who I picked to be my groomsman, because I was really struggling with that. He said that the people you need to pick to stand beside you are the people that are going to keep you accountable to be a husband worthy of Ephesians chapter 5. And so I was like, you know what? That's right. I'm going to pick guys who are going to hold me accountable to this, that are going to see my marriage years down the road, and that if they see me not doing these things, that they are going to call that out to draw me to be more Christ-like as I seek to love Victoria well. And so, if you are single this morning, maybe you've never been married, maybe you've been married in the past, maybe you are somebody who's like, I'm never touching marriage again. Wherever you are in your categories, know this, that this text still has a purpose for you. Because husbands and wives need people in their life whom they love, who they're close to keep them accountable to living out these vital roles within marriage. So again, my goal for today is not to just hurt feelings, but rather it's to help us to take an honest assessment of what are we doing to live these roles out well, and how can we do that faithfully in our walk with the Lord. So if you have your Bibles, go to Ephesians chapter 22. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 22 through 33. Let's read that together this morning. Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, his body, and is himself its Savior. Now as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit in everything to their husbands. Husbands, Love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, so that he might present himself, might present the church to himself in splendor, without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she might be holy and without blemish. In the same way, husbands should love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as Christ does the church, because we are members of his body. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This mystery is profound, and I'm saying that it refers to Christ and the church. However, let each one of you love his wife as himself. Let the wife see that she respects her husband. Will you pray with me this morning? Father, we are so grateful for today. God, we are thankful for the institution of marriage. God, we thank you for the way that you've blessed it. God, we thank you for the way that you've created marriage to be pivotal upon every culture. God, that marriage not only is an image of the gospel, but God, it's the way that you've designed for families to grow and thrive and for children to be raised up in. And so, God, I pray that you would help us as Christians to protect marriage and what it's meant to be, to honor it within our own homes, to celebrate it within our communities. And God, that we would hold our friends and family accountable to living out this image of marriage and encourage husbands and wives. God, I pray that you would help us to honor you in all that we do, both in singleness and in marriage. Your son's own name we pray. Amen. So our focus for this morning is going to be verses 22 through 30. And we're actually going to also be in Philippians 2 for a little bit as well towards the end. Now, I don't have that verse on the screen because I'm going to go through it like I would at a marriage ceremony. And my encouragement for you would actually be to pull your Bibles out at that time. But for now, we're going to sit and focus on these specific roles in marriage. But let's go back and look at verses 31 through 33 and read this again as we look at our summary verse in which everything is meant to be encompassed in this verse, set of verses. So look at this with me. Verse 31. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This mystery is profound, and I'm saying it refers to Christ and the church. However, let each of you love his wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband. This is our goal, to be a reflection of the gospel and to do our part. So as we walk through this text, we want to answer the question this morning, how do husbands and wives do that? So the way we're going to do this is we're going to start first with the guys. Because husbands, this passage says a lot more to you and what your role is than it does the wife. Now, before we get into this, let me preface with this. There are lots of places in Scripture where we learn what it looks like to be a husband or wife and to be faithful in those relationships. This is not the only place this exists. We know Colossians 3 shows that. I would even argue Romans 12 is a good place for that. The reason why is because your role as a husband or as a wife is not derivative of your role as a Christian. And so your character, your love for the Lord, this reflection of Christ and his character that you're to have in your life also gets basically copied over to your role as a husband or wife. They are not separate from one another. And so if you want to know what it means to be a good husband or wife in your marriage, to be faithful in that, ask the question first, how can I first be a faithful Christian? How can I first learn to love the Lord well? Because by learning to love the Lord well, you will learn to love others better. when I do marriage counseling and pre-marriage counseling, we never start with this text. We always start with Colossians 3 or Romans 12 on what it looks like to have compassionate hearts, to be tender towards one another, to forgive one another, to live and honor the Lord with gratitude and thanksgiving. Because if you don't have a solid foundation with the Lord where you are living for Him faithfully, it's going to be very challenging for you to live out your role as a husband or a wife well. And so always start there first. What are you doing to be a faithful follower of the Lord? And so we're going to go through these. And there's going to be a lot more to these roles than what we see in this text. But know that everything that we're going to read this morning, a lot of the practical things that you could do in living faithfully as a husband or wife falls back into these two categories, into acting like the church and acting like Christ. Does that make sense this morning? I feel like we're in one really big counseling session. Okay, let's keep going. Your homework for this week is, I'm just kidding, we're not going to do that. So let's start with husbands. Husbands, what are you to do? And again, this list is a lot more intense than it is for the wives this morning. And ladies, you're not off the hook, but just know that Paul is a lot more strict on the men here in this text than he is the wives. But there's a reason for that. And so husbands, let's take a look at this morning. The reason why this list is more intense for us guys is because men in the relationship are to be like Christ himself. They are to be like Christ himself. So let's look at this. First, number one, love your wife sacrificially. Love your wife sacrificially. Look at verse 25. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. When it comes to the way that Jesus loved us, he did so sacrificially with humility. When Jesus came to this earth, born as a man, born as a servant, he could have used his 100% godness to shield himself from all agony and suffering and pain and torture on this earth. He could have had everyone serving him, but rather, what did Jesus do? He always sought to serve others. Jesus knelt on his knees and washed the dirty feet of his disciples, including the disciple that he knew was going to betray him just hours later. Jesus loved in a way that he never put himself first. Jesus loved in a way where he never put the focus on himself, but rather the focus was always on others. And so husbands, the first thing that you should be seeking to do is to love your wife sacrificially, meaning that you put her first. Her needs above your own needs. And some days there will be nothing harder to do than that, because we by nature are very selfish human beings. I could tell you that as a husband, as a lived-in experience. It is really easy for me as a husband to fall into selfishness. It's also easy for me as a husband to fall into a false sense of selflessness. You know, there was a time early on in our marriage where I would do something in the house, like wash the dishes or something like that, or I don't know, clean the kitchen. And, you know, I was just doing what I feel like you should do, right? You take care of things in the home. But what I did was when Victoria would get home, I would like try to make sure she saw it, right? Like I would say, oh, you know, I'm going to go to the kitchen to grab something. You know, maybe you should go and like to make sure she saw it. And like, you know, like she may not notice right away, right? And so then I would always try to point it out. And then I remember early on in our marriage, I would get my feelings hurt because she didn't say anything. Or she didn't have the exact reaction that I wanted. Or, yeah, exactly what Charlotte's saying. Like, oh, you're so amazing, so wonderful. Like, right? Like that, to me, was the wrong place to serve her. Because serving is not about getting recognition or being thanked. Serving is about doing something for someone out of love and reverence for them, not out of wanting something out of it. And so when I was doing those things for Victoria, I wasn't doing those things for her. I was doing those things for me. And that is not living sacrificially. So husbands, love your wife sacrificially. in a way that you're not expecting anything in return just because you do something for her, right? And ladies, I would say the same thing to you. Don't just do something for your husband just so he does something for you. That's a transactional kind of love, and that's not the kind of love that we're called to have in a Christ church relationship. So husbands, love your wives sacrificially in a way that is truly sacrificial and not about you. The second is wash her with the word. Care for her spiritually. Look at verses 26 and 27. That he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of the water with the word, so that he might present the church to himself in splendor without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she might be holy and without blemish. There's this idea that husbands are designed to be the spiritual leader in the homes. And that can be a really challenging, but also a really heavy responsibility as men. And I'll tell you, it's challenging, especially when your wife is more theologically smart than you are. And in my household, that's the case at least. Victoria is way more like into theology books and studying and all this other stuff more than I am. And so for me, like, this role can be kind of intimidating. How do I leave my wife spiritually well? How do I care for her? How do I wash her with the word? And the way I do so is the same way that Jesus did. Right? Jesus cared for the souls of the church. He washed them with the word. He prayed over them. He sought to lead them closer to the Lord. He sought to care for them practically. And so for me as a husband, if I want to care for my wife spiritually well, I'm going to encourage her with scripture. I'm going to encourage her to be involved in the local church. I'm going to encourage her to be involved in small groups. I'm going to give her the space to be able to be with the Lord and grow in relationship with him. And I'm going to seek to live out the things that I see in the word when it comes to serving and loving and honoring her. This washing with the word can be kind of challenging because we ourselves as husbands, we do not sanctify our wives. Jesus does that. We are not our wife's savior. Jesus is. But men, we have a responsibility to care for our wives spiritually, meaning that we do what we can to draw them closer to the Lord and to live that out faithfully as husbands. So care for her spiritually. Pray with her. Read the word with her. Give her the space and avenue to be involved in Christian community. The third is kind of in alignment with that. But men, you are to love your wife as your own body, meaning that you care for her body and her mind. Look at verses 28 and 29. In the same way, husbands should love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes it and cherishes it, just like Christ does the church. I love the language that Paul uses here. You know what word I love the most? Cherish. Cherish. Men, we are to cherish our wives. Not just to love them well, not just to make sure they are cared for with their body and mind, meaning let your wife get some sleep, right? Especially if you have young kids, right? Men, like, we got to share the load in that. Okay, it's good for us to get sleep too, so we're not grumpy, but man, the whenever I have friends of mine that have newborns and the dads do absolutely nothing, I'm like, guys, come on, step up. Like, let your wife get some sleep. She needs it. But also to let your wife also have a minute away, to have a break from the responsibilities of motherhood if she's a mother, or to have the responsibilities of the home that can weigh down heavily on her. That's not to say that it's going to be like that in every marriage, right? Not every wife has this overwhelming burden of her home, but it's kind of a cultural thing where every wife feels this, like, this even this unspoken burden of being able to care for the home well as their responsibility, and husbands have this almost unspoken weight to provide financially to care for the home. Like, it's been there since the beginning. I feel like it's kind of the way that God has designed us to be, but the reality is, the relationship dynamic in marriages have changed over time to where a lot more Husbands and wife are both working together. They're sharing more responsibilities of parenthood. They're sharing more responsibilities of the home. And that's a great and wonderful thing. But husbands, we need to make sure that we're being diligent on ensuring that our wife is cared for as we care for our own bodies. Meaning that if we want rest for ourselves, that we ensure that she's getting rest too. And not out of this sacrificial, oh, look at me, look what I'm doing for you kind of mentality, but rather that you are seeking to cherish her, to love her well. I love that word, cherish. Husbands, cherish your wives as you do the things that you treasure most. The fourth, we are to love our wives not only as our wife, but as a fellow member of the body of Christ. Look at verse 30. Because we are members of his body. There's this idea that kind of talked about in the beginning that the role of husband and wife is one that when we take on the character that we have towards other people should change, right? Like we should love more sacrificially when we're married. We should love more like Christ when we have that kind of relationship, right? But the reality is, we are meant to love and care for all who are within the body of Christ, regardless of whether we're married to them or not. Now, the relationship dynamic is different. The attention that you should be giving to your wife is different than you would give to another member of the body of Christ, which is why, as your pastor, I will tell you, the priority of relationships that I have and always should have should be my relationship with God, my relationship with Victoria, my relationship with my kids, and then all y'all. Right? Like they should always be first. And if you ever have a pastor that flips that, that is a man who is not living out what it means to be a pastor elder. That's not to say that I always get that right, because I often fail at that. I think often we as men do, but the reality is we are not only to care for our wives as husbands, but we are also to care for them as fellow members of the body of Christ. She is just as much a member of the body of Christ as you are, and you are to care for her in that way. And wives, I would say this same thing goes to you, that you are to care for your husbands just as he is also a valued member of the body of Christ. They are not separate of one another. Rather, it's a derivative of who we are. It's another title we bear as Christ followers. So in summary, husbands, you are to lead, love, and cherish her like Christ did for the church. And I'm going to say this, and this is so important. I'm going to say this for husbands or for wives too. She is not your savior. She is not your savior. So many husbands and wives put their spouse on a pedestal, and they put their identity, their spiritual belonging, their safety, their value all on what they think of them. Your spouse was never meant to bear that kind of weight. Because the reality is, no matter how amazing your spouse is, they will hurt you and sin against you at some point. Because you both are imperfect human beings. And so your wife, husbands, are never meant to be your savior. Jesus is. He's the one who changes you. He is the one who will never fail you. He is the one that is meant to sanctify you and draw you closer to him. Your wife cannot handle that kind of burden. Don't put that on her. And don't put that on yourself. So that's enough picking on the guys. So wives, what are y'all supposed to do? What is your role? The first one, and this is the most controversial and probably the point I'm going to spend the most time on, and husbands, I might pick on you just a little bit more in this passage. So apologies in advance. But wives, as you look at verse 22, Paul says this, wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. You as wives are meant to submit to the leadership of the husband as you have a mutual submission to God. Now, there's a lot of controversy about this text. And I have sat at some reception halls and in those, what are those dinners where you, the rehearsal dinners, like I've been at those, where we've had this discussion on this very text. And the question is, that word of submit becomes a very challenging and triggering word. In fact, maybe there's a couple of people in you, your ears perked up when you heard that word, submit. I want to say a couple things about it, because one, I think the idea of submission is a little different in this text than we have in our own minds. But two, there's a component of this we always forget, because we're never meant to read these verses in a vacuum. There's a context in which this lives, and the context is really important in this text. So it says, wives, submit your husbands as to the Lord. But what does Paul mean by that? One, Paul does not mean that this text gives husbands the authority to tell you to do whatever they want and you have to do it. I have seen too many husbands weaponize this passage where they say, wives, submit to your own husbands, ask the Lord, meaning go make me a sandwich, right? That's not what that means. Don't, men in this room, don't use that text with your wives when we get done to say, that's what Pastor Dustin said, because that's not what I'm saying. You cannot tell your wife what to do because of this verse 22. That's not what it means. Right? If we read this in a bubble, sure. If this was the only verse in this text and there was no other context to it and there was nothing else for men to do, then that basically gives men authority to say, hey, whatever I say to do, you got to do it, right? That's not what it says. Because there are 23 through 33 other verses in this passage after this. And what did we just read about husbands? That husbands are meant to lead, cherish, and love their wives well as Christ loved the church. So the kind of leadership that husbands are supposed to have is supposed to look like Christ, who was sacrificial, who when he led the church, he didn't do so with an authoritative thumb, right? He wasn't a dictator who led with an iron fist. Jesus regularly put the church over himself. So much so that he would go to die on the cross for her. Without grumbling or complaint, he bore on the weight of the sin that didn't belong to him. That is the kind of love that Jesus had. That is the kind of leadership that Jesus displayed. Jesus never made anyone do anything. Instead, he instructed and loved and cared and served. And so when Paul tells you to submit to your own husbands as to the Lord, this submission is more of a following of leadership. That's the kind of leadership you are to follow, is one that looks like Christ. Now, husbands don't always do that 100% well. And I'll tell you that, first and foremost, as a fellow husband in this room. And so, wives, when you seek to follow after the leadership of your husband, that's the kind of leadership that you are meant to follow. And if your husband is not faithfully seeking to live that out, you are to follow the Lord first and foremost and always. That's why I say that there's this mutual submission to the Lord, because both husband and wife submit to one Savior. It's not a tiered system where it's God and then husband and then wife, right? The husband is not like the Pope of the relationship. Both husband and wife have equal relationship with the Lord. They are to submit under his authority. But at the end of the day, husbands are meant to lead the family. Husbands are meant to sacrificially love the family, and wives are meant to follow after that kind of leadership. And so yes, although this is a very controversial text, I do think what Paul is saying at face value is correct. That wives, you are to follow after the leadership of your husbands. But husbands are meant to be like Christ. And you both are supposed to follow under and submit to the leadership of Jesus. He is the one who leads your home just as much as he is the one that leads this church. And if you're upset by that, I'm sorry, but that's what it says and that's what it is. And I'm just the messenger. So just letting you know that. And I will say too, I'll just say this. I do have a lot of friends that see this passage a little differently, that I have a lot of respect and love for and admire. And we can disagree on that to a degree. But we can never disagree on how we are all to mutually fall under the submission of Christ. You may disagree on how much authority the husband has in the home, or how much he's supposed to lead, or how much you are supposed to follow that. And unfortunately, when I have that conversation with many people, it's because they didn't have a great leader, or their experience with that wasn't great. But I think we can all agree we are all meant to fall under the mutual submission of Christ, because he is the one who leads all of us. The second is this: wives, you are to respect and care for your husbands. Do not take advantage of him. Do not take advantage of him. And third, as wives, you are to be open and vulnerable with him. Open and vulnerable with him. And again, this all comes from the husband living out these roles well. Wives, these are the roles you are to live well too, as you both mutually seek to submit to Christ, and as you both mutually seek to live out this image of Christ in the church within your marriage. So you are to respect and care for him, to not take advantage of him, and to be open and vulnerable with him. And to remember, husbands are not your savior. He was never meant to bear the weight of that, and he can never serve as a replacement for Christ in your life. And so I told you earlier that we were going to be in Philippians 2 for a second. And so if you got your Bibles, go to Philippians chapter 2 real quick. I said earlier in this text that you are to work to be a faithful Christ follower before you can be a faithful husband or wife. When I do marriage ceremonies, this is actually the passage I'll preach from. Because I think in every role that you see that you have as a husband or wife in your marriage, it is all rooted in one character, and that is humility. In order to respect and love your husbands well, to care for him, to be open and vulnerable with him, you are to be humble. For men to love sacrificially, to put yourself below the needs of your wife, to wash her with the word, to care for her spiritually, you are to be humble. And so as a married couple, I think it's important that you take on the attitude of Christ and humility towards one another. So if you got your Bible, go to Philippians chapter 2. We're going to go through this fairly quickly. And if you've ever been to a marriage ceremony that I've done, you will probably have heard this before. Philippians 2, 1 through 11 begins with this. If there's any encouragement in Christ, any comfort from love, any participation in the Spirit, any affection and sympathy. This passage begins with our baseline in Christ. Just as we looked at the meaning of marriage, our baseline must start there. Even when you feel lonely as a couple or within your marriage, trust that you have all you need in Jesus Christ. We can say that with confidence, that no matter the circumstances, that we have encouragement in Christ, comfort in his love, and fellowship with the Spirit. These things produce in us tenderness and compassion. These traits should mark all marriages. You should always be tender and compassionate within your marriage towards one another. Then he continues to say this: complete my joy by being of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you not look only to his own interest, but also to the interest of others. We're going to start drawing this to a close. But within the function of marriage, as you seek to live in the role of a husband and wife in marriage that seeks to be a reflection of the gospel, this will be your daily challenge. You must be constantly be reminded that as two become one, you must also place one another above yourself, their needs above your needs. Some days this may seem easy, but on most days there will be nothing harder to do in your marriage than to put your spouse first. And the reality is you can't do this in your own strength. It is only through the power given to you by the Holy Spirit that you can humbly love as God intends. God recognized this. It pointed the church at Philippi to the greatest of models. And it says this: have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, whom though he was in the form of God, did not account equality with God as a thing to be grasped. See, Jesus released the very thing that made him, him, in order to be obedient and to serve as God directed. Often when called upon to love as God intends for you to love, you must release the things in life that you hold most dear, the things that make you, you. Your husband or your wife should be more important than yourself. More than any job, hobby, thing, car, or relationship outside of the one you have with Christ, your spouse should take priority. And it goes on. But he emptied himself by taking on the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men. God in human form chose to be a servant. The greatest example to ever walk the face of the earth did everything he did as an act of service. That's who Jesus was. In marriage, there will be no greater calling than to serve. And to serve with the abandon we see in Christ, because, as the text continues to say, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Listen to me, church. Do not put limits on how far you are willing to die to self to serve your spouse in the name of Christ. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name. So at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth. And every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. As we close, your role, your marriage is not about you. It's about Christ. My hope for you, church, is that in everything you do, from now until God calls you home, that you never lose sight of the ultimate goal that we see in this text, to the glory of God the Father. This should be your goal, both personally in your life, but especially within your marriages. So live this out. And by God's grace, we don't have to do that alone. He gives us his Spirit freely for us to live those things out well. And so this morning, as we close and as we have our invitation, I invite you to respond to this, to ask the question, am I living this out well? And if I'm not, is it because I've never trusted in Christ as my Savior? I've never been empowered with the Holy Spirit to live in love as a way that God has called me to? Or are you a Christian here this morning that needs to turn away from your selfishness and sin and turn towards the Lord? I invite you to do so this morning as we pray together. Will you pray with me? Father, we thank you so much for today. God, we're so grateful for your love for us. We're grateful for the institution of marriage. God, I pray that in our marriages, we would honor and glorify you. And God, that we would live out these roles well, to have tender and compassionate hearts for one another, to love one another well, as we mutually seek to submit under you and your authority. And God, to be reminded that we do not do these things alone, but God, you do these things through us. It's your Son's only name we pray. Amen.